hello, Bernice.
Hello, John.
It's lovely to have you here in the hot seat.
Thank you.
We're going to have a little chat about your life and your faith and whatever else comes up on the way as well. So you were born in Ghana.
Yes, I was born in Ghana.
Tell us about your childhood. What was childhood like for Bernice?
I think for me, my parents were quite young.
Mm-hmm.
So when they gave birth to me, my grandparent decided that, why don't we take Bernice and let our two young couples kind of get themselves settled and get themselves into marriage life. So my first few years was spent with my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
who happens to be in another town, more or less. Mm-hmm. So every month, my parents would come and visit me. So I think probably went to them when I was like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my mommy tells me that I was a very good child. Good. I didn't give her any big trouble when she was weaning me off. So she went to my grandmother's, and after a week, she literally stopped breastfeeding me. So I was a happy child. And they said, by nature, I was very quiet. I wasn't a crying baby or troublesome who needs constant attention. Once they know that I've been fed and changed, I just sleep or play.
Yeah.
So when I was like about three, when I was about to start nursery, then they came for, by that time they have settled and they were okay. So I went back to them. So I think I got very attached to my grandmother.
Mm.
So every now and again, she has to come and visit. Even though me and my mom, we were okay, but I feel that my bond was really with my grandmother.
Mm.
So, because according to my mom, I kind of exhibited the way my grandmother is, how she talks, how she mm-hmm. behaves. And so probably by DNA, I took a look from some from her. But then the further
years.
I was being with her for my formative years, yeah. the first few years, it got me more okay. attached to her.
So do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do have brothers and sisters. So I have one sister mm-hmm. and two brothers.
All right.
It so happened that the girls came first, and mm-hmm. there was quite a big gap because my daddy traveled for a while. Mm-hmm. So there was about 10-year gap between us and our brothers. So mm-hmm. when they came, I was usually about 10 years. So I was more or less like a little helper,
mm-hmm.
like a small mommy to right. them. Yeah. And after a few years, my mommy traveled. So I think when I was in my late teens or my early 20s, my mommy traveled. So I was literally the mother of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of set new rules, how the house should run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just fell in place. So my brothers know that when they wake up, they have to have their bath, brush their teeth, dress up before they have their breakfast.
Do you think now with your own family, you copied those ways and you run the same
Yes,
style?
I did. Except yeah. over here, we give children more choices. Mm-hmm. It's when I came in, I realized that Africans, or maybe I'll say black people, the way we raise our children is quite different. I have learned a lot also when I came into my profession as an AES practitioner. What I realized is that Africans, we don't give much options to our children.
Mm.
We don't give them much choices. We say, do this, and that's it. Mommy says this, daddy says this, and it's final. And I've always wanted to have this opportunity to say this, that children build confidence when they are given choices, when they are given the opportunity to express themselves, to be given responsibility, to make decisions under the guidance of adults. It makes a big difference. So when I came here, I realized that the difference between us and other children or other races is because they are given, right from when they are children or they are young,
mm-hmm.
their confidence is built up because they are given options and choices, and they are able to express themselves, and then they are guided.
Right. So the guiding's there.
Yes.
So back to your childhood.
So back to my childhood.
So once you were guided, you became yes. a teenager.
Yes.
And did the Christian faith have any part in your childhood?
It certainly did, because I remember when I was 14 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I remember mm-hmm. very well. And during that time, It's so funny. I wasn't very confident in praying in English. So it was something that, like, I really wanted to do. I said, God, I want to, now that I have come to know you, I want to express myself more because I want to know you more. And even though I can pray in my local language, I also want to pray in English very well, fluently. So in school, we happen to have a student union. Mm-hmm. And I know at that time too, I was quite shy. So I said, God, I want to do your work so much, but I'm so shy. Even if I want to talk about you, or want to talk about your word, or share my opinion with my other colleagues or my other student friends, I feel very shy. Please help me have that bravery or the boldness to talk about you, to sing for you. So I remember in school, I was in a boarding house. Because over there, it's much easier to go to a boarding house mm-hmm. when you are in your secondary. Mm-hmm. So in school, we had SU, Student Union. So we had Presbyterian and Methodist Student Union. So we kind of worship together. And within that, I had two other friends. So we formed a singing team called the Golden Bells.
Okay. The Golden Bells.
Yes, the Golden Bells. And we were very good at it. And so we joined the singing ministry. Mm-hmm. I started three of us. So whenever there's a singing ministration, so whenever we go for SU meetings, there is time for song ministration and testimonies. Even though we're a student, we still have some, you know, something that we can talk about. And that really helped to increase my faith a lot. Mm-hmm. So after when I was my third year, there was the option to choose like a SU student, leaders, mm-hmm. like a secretary, president, vice president. And I happened to be the secretary. So we were more like an executive of the mm-hmm. vice president, the president, deputy, and the treasurer, the secretary. Yeah. And so when you go to meeting, obviously you have to present your report. And that helped me build up my confidence in speaking right. in front of other people and singing and sharing words. So later on, as part of my duties, I became a class leader or study leader, because so that our junior ones will be able to lead them to Christ. And as time went, I realized that my faith was increasing and I had the confidence to talk about my experiences with the other young student that has come. And I believe that in my time, I left a few positive marks with the other young faith students. Yeah.
Right. So, in a way, I see the word growing, that your faith grew during that time.
Yes, it did.
And it wasn't a kind of magic moment, any one off. It was a whole thing that built up your faith.
Yes.
And okay.
It's a whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to more earthly matters. So how did you meet Charles?
So I met Charles. It's so surprising. When I came here, the first time I came to my auntie. She was in East London.
Okay.
And one of her friends happened to have a social gathering. So my aunt took me, I think 1 week after I have been here. I remember correctly the date. Which I believe. Yeah, so I went there because I was new and I was just sitting there. I didn't know anyone. I was just looking around. More or less like bored, but not extremely. So I saw two kids. So there were two kids who were sitting around me. So they kept looking at me. So I said, hello, what's your name? So I kind of got talking to them. So after a while, one said, I need a toilet. I said, okay, then let me take you. Do you know where the toilet is? Because they happened to know the person who is hosting the social gathering. So when I was holding their hands and I was taking them upstairs to the toilet, and then I heard someone calling me. So I turned and he said, hello. And I said, hi. And he said, oh, those are my niece and my nephew. I said, oh, okay, really? Well, I just saw them and they said they need a toilet. So as they know where they are going, he said, within there, it's upstairs. So I was just taking them. And then she said, okay. So she said, I'm Charles. I'm like, okay. You know, obviously, you wanted me to also say my name. I was a bit cheeky, actually. So yeah. I didn't want to say my name. And so like, hey, so what's your name? So I asked, why do you want to know my name? And it's like, it will look awkward. I said, okay, fine. I'm Benez. The reason why was that, guys feel that they just want to know your name, and I wasn't in the mood to talk. So I was being a little bit rude by then, and I told him my name. So later on, after I've taken the kids and come back, he approached me and he said, can I have your contact number? And I said, no.
You were difficult with him then. Gave him a hard time, poor chap. Yeah.
I said, no. Besides, and he said, how long have you been here? I said, well, I just came here a week ago. He said, you don't look like someone who had just been here a week ago. I said, well, that is what it is. So he said, because of that, I don't even have a contact number here. So how about your house number? I said, no, I live with my auntie. How can I give my auntie's house number? That's not possible. He said, so where do you live? I said, I can't tell you that. So it so happened that in the end, he had to go and ask the host to ask my auntie
for permission.
And surprisingly, when we were going to go, my auntie had to call a car because she didn't have a car then. Mm. And Mr. Charles happened to offer willingly to take us home. So in the end, he gave us a lift home. I don't know what he told my aunt, but when we got there, my auntie was saying, he wants to talk to you. I said, what for? And so I think he got my auntie's number by whatever means. So a few days later, he gave me a call. I said, how did you get this number? It's blah, blah, blah. So in the end, I said, well, this is not my number, so you cannot be calling very often. I said, well, I can arrange a number for you. I said, no, I don't need it. So the long and short story was that he managed to get me a phone. Yeah. And I can remember him calling me once 15 times a day.
Oh, wow.
So we started friendship. So when I went back home, because I was then in uni, so I had to go back home and continue. So we kind of, during the holidays, I will come and visit.
Mm.
So until I finish uni. So in the end, we got together.
Yeah.
And that is what happened.
Well, it's a lovely story. It's a lovely story. And hopefully Charles will forgive you for telling the story to the world. We might get him to come and give his account as well.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So you were studying. What were you studying in
the
university?
In my uni, I did business administration, human resource option.
Right, okay.
Yes, so after I finished, I got lucky. I got a job in a bank. So I was a customer service personnel.
Was that here or in Ghana?
That was in Ghana.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I actually loved my job because I was single. I didn't have to. Sometimes I can work 7 to 7. Mm-hmm. I love what I was doing. I love serving people, and generally, I just want to have a smile on people's face at the end of the service that I give them. Mm-hmm. And even though I didn't spend much long time there, I had a good report after my 6 months being there. And I remember my boss saying that, I'm so disappointed that you are leaving us. Now that you are gone, our output is going to go down. Yeah, because I believe that if you're doing something, do it from your heart. And one thing I also believe very well, that before the day I was going to uni, the day I was going for my orientation, I pray to God that, God, I'm starting a new page in my life. And I've always believed in you. I believe that you have brought me this far. So I want a Bible passage or message that will lead me in this journey that I'm beginning. This I won't forget because I am grateful for what he led me into. So I just opened the Bible. Sometimes, now I'm not sure what I'm reading. I just opened the Bible blindly.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened it, and it was Isaiah 43. And after, I was a bit jittery, I was a bit concerned because it's my first time going to uni.
Mm-hmm.
And after I read it, I knew that I was on the right path. Mm-hmm. I had this peace of mind, peace of heart.
Were there any particular words in it that spoke to you?
Yes, especially the first verse. It says that, I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, it will not sweep over you. When you pass through fire, it will not burn you. And because I love you, I'll give people's life in exchange of yours. And that was all I needed.
Wonderful.
That was all I needed. Yeah. That whenever we seek God, we will find him. So when he says that, seek me and you shall find me. Whenever I go into difficulties and I give God back his word that he promised me, things always turn around. So when he says that we should study his word to show ourselves approved, it is real.
Yeah. Good. So now, Bernice, you've moved to this country. You've obviously got married and you've got three wonderful children who are delightful, each one of them.
Thank you.
And you've got a very successful business going. Tell us a bit about the business.
The business, that is another miracle. Mm. So after I had my youngest, I was telling God that, God, this is a new place I have come in. The moment I came, I started having children. But I need a job that I can take care of my children at the same time, help to contribute to the running of the house. Mm-hmm. And so after 3 months, I think after I gave birth to Abigail, I had my youngest. I had a visit. So when the lady came in, she said she's from the local authority. And they are visiting new moms with young families and ask them, you know, what their future prospects are, you know, because they are helping these mothers to plan their future. Mm-hmm. That is, if they want to do anything. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I came here with this and that, but realistically, I can't use what I was using over here because now I'm looking at options that where there's demand. And even though I've been thinking and planning about, you know, the option that I haven't actually decided which way I'm going to go yet. So she said, have you thought about having a career in childcare? I was like, not exactly. I know I like children, obviously. I have young family too. And she said, well, actually, I've been praying about it, and I've already told God that, you know, I need a job that will help me look after my children at the same time. So that is something that I'll really be happy to look into. Then she said, well, I happen to have the right information for that career or that kind of that aspect. And surprisingly, just like she's brought everything that I need to start with childcare, the information I need, who to contact, the levels, she's got a lot. And you know, when people say that, oh, angels don't exist anymore, or there are no guardian angels, I can tell them that I'm a living testimony of that. Because after she gave me all the information I need and the person to contact everyone. So after she left, 2 days later, I made a call to this lady that, I had a visit from this lady. She came, she said she's from the local authority, and then she came to visit. And she gave me this information, and she even gave me your number, and that I should contact you. So she asked me some few questions, and I answered. She said, well, all the information that she gave you are right. They are correct, except we don't have anyone called by that name from the local authority. Right. And to be honest, we don't even provide these services. It's either a health visitor who will come and visit you a few months after.
Yeah.
After to check on you and the baby, but not to come and tell you that this is what you think we should do. So I said, okay. At that time, it didn't sink in. So after I have gone to see her, because literally every information that I needed has been given to me already. So all she had to do was just enroll me. Because I did a few assessments. She said, you're already overqualified because based on your knowledge, you're already overqualified. So instead of even doing the level one, she gave me just level two. And then she said, so when I was about to leave, I remember what she said, that you were a very blessed woman. Even though I'm not supposed to say that to you, for you to have come with all this information, you are blessed. So literally when I got home, I realized that, what did she mean by that? And then I remember that she said, there's no, they don't offer that kind of service. And so in my heart, I believe that I had an angelic visit. Mm-hmm. Some may say, no, this is not true. To me, the Father, I prayed what I should do. Mm. And I had this, and I must say, I couldn't have chosen any better career. I am proud, I'm happy with what I'm doing and the difference I'm making in children's lives.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and those sorts of stories, may well have been a logical explanation somewhere down the line. But equally, there's that sense of God intervening in that process, which is the important part for your life, isn't it, really? Because that's what made the difference.
Point. Yes, that's made the difference.
That made the difference.
It's been a turning point for me.
Great. So, Bernice, how did you find your way into Bell Road Church here?
Surprisingly, when I met my husband and I came to visit him, I think once he has gone to work, so I was going to the high street, and then I saw a church. I said, wow, is that Methodist? Oh, wow, that would be nice for me to come here. But I didn't come here until I have actually moved. I have actually come after 2 years, to be honest, mm-hmm. because I was the first time I saw it, I was just the next day I was going back to Ghana. Mm-hmm. So the next time, when I came the next time, I couldn't actually find the time to come, or probably I was a bit reluctant.
Mm-hmm.
So after I have come, I think 2006, if I remember correctly, then I started coming. Yes, so it wasn't after the first 2 years. Mm. It was after the first 2 years that I started coming. But at that time, my husband was just living just very close here. Mm. But then I couldn't come at that time. So after I started coming, I'll be asking him, so when can we go to church? He said, well, originally, he used to go to Assemblies of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to force him to come. So I just prayed silently that, God, you said my husband is my head. So if my husband is my head and I'm his neck, then he has to know you. So I just, I didn't want to force him. I was just praying. And it so happened that after I think Ashley was born, we had to baptize him. Mm-hmm. So before that, he came to visit. And afterwards, I said, well, we'll see. Because he thought Methodists are quite different, the way they worship. But
they are quite strange, yeah.
Yeah. But when he came, he actually liked it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then as time went on, he started coming more often. So after mm-hmm. Ashley was baptized, he started mm-hmm. coming more often. Mm-hmm. And what they say, the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
you're here.
Yes.
I'm much
grateful
loved
that,
and cherished.
Yes.
And
so I am grateful that we ended up coming to the same church.
Mm, yeah. Great. Good. Bernice, what makes you angry? What makes you angry? And I don't mean the children leaving a mess. What makes you angry, other than the children leaving a mess?
I don't have children. Personally, I'm a very patient person. I have lot of patience.
I have noticed that.
And I trust a person until I have a reason not to. Mm. At least that's how I was raised. That I don't judge a person when you haven't seen anything about the person. Mm. Give every person an opportunity to prove themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see a person, I don't prejudge them.
Mm.
It's what they will do afterwards that will make me whether to trust them or not to trust them.
Mm.
And personally, if I see that I'm being taken advantage of,
right,
that
makes you angry.
That makes me angry.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a fairly good thing to be angry about. Yeah, it's a good lesson for everybody, isn't it? Never to take advantage of people's goodness and kindness. No, that's very good. And Bernice, do you have a favourite Bible passage? You've mentioned that. Message from Isaiah.
I do.
Do you have one that's a real special one to you?
Yes. I like Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 3. It says, tell the righteous it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their labor.
Shall be well with them.
Yes, it shall be well.
It's good. It's good. And a favorite hymn? It's not Desert Island Discs, but you can have a favorite hymn.
Yes, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's the Captain of Israel Host and Guide.
Oh, right, a good old Wesley hymn. That's a John Wesley hymn, a Charles Wesley hymn, yeah. Captain of Israel Host, Israel's Host, and Guide, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very difficult one to sing when you've not got a large congregation and a big choir.
Yeah.
But yeah, lovely, good, good. I've got one last question for you.
Sure.
My last question is, what does the resurrection mean to you?
For me, it gives me hope that no matter what happens, I have someone who backs me.
Mm-hmm.
I have my faith is not based on material things. Like I have found a resting place, not in a man-made creed, not in stars, not in the day you were born or the partner you meet, but my faith is in Christ, who is my Savior, who died and raised again. Because he raised again and he lives, I know he is the author and the finisher of my faith. Once he's alive, I can do all things through him because he strengthens me.
Amen.
So, that is what it means to me.
Amen.
It gives me hope.
Bernice, thank you very much for your time and for your sharing of yourself with us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you too.